What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita Show. I'm your host, Jack Vita, and today we're introducing a new recap here on the Jack Vita Show. So the traders just wrapped up, and we still will have more traders content coming in the coming weeks and months as well. We've got lots of interviews with members of the cast. We just wrapped up the finale. Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick, we had such a fun time co-hosting that together. And we had so much, we got so much interaction. A lot of you guys said you should cover more shows. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to cover Deal or No Deal Island all season long here on the Jack Vita Show. And I want to introduce you guys to my co-host who will be walking through this season with me. No stranger to Stephanie. Stephanie got her voted off Survivor once upon a time. It's Brooke Strzok from Survivor Guatemala.
Hey, everyone. Happy to be joining you, Jack.
Now, Brooke, of course, you have been a reality TV watcher for a while. I know you, of course, you played Survivor. You weren't on there for too long, unfortunately. We talked about that in great detail on a podcast last summer, so you guys should check that out if you want to hear more about her Survivor experience. But I know you've been very active. You've gone to a lot of Survivor events over the years. You know quite a few people from these shows. So this has been a part of your life for a while, right?
Yeah, it has. It's been kind of a fun alumni group to be a part of. And so, yes, even though my time on Survivor Guatemala was short-lived, I've gotten a lot of fun opportunities since then and gotten to meet, you know, cast from Survivor, Amazing Race, Big Brother, all sorts of ones.
And Let me make this clear. Stephanie has not been replaced. She'll still be doing trader stuff with me, but she's a busy mother of three, and Brooke is too. So we're rotating the moms in for different shows. That's how this is going to work.
Yes. She's gotten more of the trader's insight, having played the game, so it makes sense.
Yeah, we don't. Since this is season one of Deal or No Deal Island, we don't know anybody who's been on this show before. No one's done it. So we don't really have that person who's an insider. But I thought Brooke will be a great co-host. She's very smart. She's very funny. And she's very fun. So, and she loves these kind of shows. And your kids are getting into it too.
Yeah. Yeah. They've really enjoyed watching it. And so they were actually the ones who were begging me to do this with you. They were excited, as I was too. I mean, I wasn't sure how this season was going to look with the whole twist, and I was skeptical, but it was actually much better than I expected. I really enjoyed it.
So we'll have you guys covered all season long. So make sure you subscribe to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And like I said earlier this week, I've also created a new YouTube channel. So this channel here will be all of our entertainment coverage. I've realized that not everybody who watches reality shows is a huge baseball fan or a big sports fan. So I've got another YouTube channel now where I'll put all of my sports content. I'll leave that link here in the description so you guys can subscribe. We're starting from scratch there. So if you're a sports fan, check it out. We'll have a lot of baseball stuff coming soon and probably some NFL draft stuff, interviews with athletes, all that good stuff. But today we're here to talk about Deal or No Deal Island. You touched on it briefly, Brooke. What was your reaction when you first saw, like, there's going to be a show called Deal or No Deal Island?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you have some of these reality shows, like you look at Survivor, and it's kind of like when you're doing the same thing again and again, they feel like they have to kind of reinvent themselves to kind of draw in a bigger audience and not to lose the people you have. And so I watched Deal or No Deal back in the day, but it's been a long time. And I thought about it and I was like, yeah, it does kind of seem to get to be the same thing again and again. And so throwing in where it seems like, hey, it's half Survivor, half Deal or No Deal, really makes it entertaining. And I always love shows where you get invested in the characters. And I think that's part of this, is that you really get to know these people. And when you're out in these harsh conditions, people's true colors come out. And that's my favorite, you know, is really seeing what people are like.
Yeah, I would say I've been impressed with it. So we're taping this right now. This is after the third episode. I think a lot of people looked at it and they're like, oh, that looks kind of funny. Like Deal or No Deal Island. What? Boston Rob's here. What's going on? But I've been really enjoying it. And I think I didn't know how it was going to play out, but it's pretty cool. The challenges are cool. Like the thing that's kind of difference, the difference between this and the Traders is with the Traders, they have really cool challenges, but they really don't add that much to the story because it's like, okay, how much money are they going to win? And they always end up filling up the prize pot. So it's not like there's some big advantage you win from winning a challenge. But here on Deal or No Deal Island, they've got cool challenges and they're very consequential to how things play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's the thing that's... that makes it a good twist is that, you know, you can save yourself by winning on these challenges and things. And I think it's interesting too, especially in this third episode, how people really got so much more strategic and you start to see kind of that whole like alliances forming. And it's weird how it's shifted, you know, it's kind of moved that direction.
So you were a fan of Deal or No Deal back in the day?
Yeah. I mean, I watched it here and there and stuff. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
We were really into it. I was, let's see. So do you know, can you guess the premiere date? Let's ask this. So do you think was before or after you were on TV?
I feel like it was a little bit after, but not too much. Maybe 2007?
No, it was actually 8 days after the Guatemala finale.
That's crazy that it was that close in timing. Huh. That's fascinating.
I thought it was later too. I would have guessed like fall 06 was my guess, but it was only on for a few years. When it first started, it was a big hit. People were watching it. I think it was it on every night? I can't even remember if it was on. I think it was on.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of nights. It was a very popular game show. It kind of was a little bit after like the big game show craze with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where that was like this huge entity where everyone was watching that every single night. But Deal or No Deal, like I was a kid and we had a Deal or No Deal like board game. We had a plug in and play one that you could play on the TV. There were arcade games. Like it was a cool show. And so to see it come back in this format, it was not something I thought about in a long time, but here we are and I'm pumped.
Have you ever played the video game version of it? It's funny because they have a Dave and Buster's near us. And so the reason my kids know Deal or No Deal is because they played it at Dave and Buster's before and they really enjoyed playing it there. And so that's how they knew it.
Well, that's hilarious. And that just goes to show like this show has been on for a long time. And it's funny that the arcade version is what's brought people in. So let's dig into this episode. Things start picking up off of last episode where tempers are really starting to rise here on Deal or No Deal Island. Rob is just stirring the pot as he always does. He decides to like sit everybody down. They're all sitting down and he's like, when you said that you're going to kick my behind, I took great offense to that. That was not cool. That was a personal thing. And then it cuts to a confessional of Rob just being like, I know it was a joke.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is that I realized in my season of Survivor, you know, more after the fact, but we were the first time you had returning players. We had Stephanie and Bobby John. And you realize after the fact, it's like having college students play a game with kindergartners. And that's kind of what you have here is like Rob's the college student playing against all these kindergartners. So he's pulling the strings. And my favorite was when he made this comment, like, I'm the general and they're the soldiers. And he's right. I mean, and props to him. Like, I mean, this is what he should be doing. You know, he's out there to win it. And so he just knows what strings to pull. And it just plays out like he's wanted it to. It's crazy.
It is amazing how he is pulling the strings once again. I just had an image of Billy Madison as you made that comparison. Is Bobby John like the Billy Madison of Survivor?
Yeah, kind of like that.
So this is good. It's like we're kicking off. Rob's stirring the pot. And one thing that I thought was really interesting was we're starting to build up Alyssa as a character here. Mm-hmm. And I really like Alyssa. And Alyssa actually, fun fact, did you know that she knows Danny?
No, huh?
Yeah, so Danny Boatwright, the winner of Survivor Guatemala and a good friend of ours, Danny has been very involved in the pageant circuit for a long time. She was... I think she was the runner-up Miss USA. She was Miss Kansas USA back in, I won't say the year. She does stuff where she trains and helps pageant girls. And I talked to her yesterday, actually. She called me up and we were catching up. And she said, this girl, Alyssa, she's like the very best of the ones that she's worked with. This girl was incredible. And just had only glowing things to say about her. So she has known her for a while. Like, I think back to like when she was maybe a teenager.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's funny. I had would have had no clue that Alyssa was in the pageant scene back in the day. So that's cool. That's really funny. So many Survivor connections and Survivor Guatemala specifically.
Yeah, Survivor Guatemala. Oh my gosh, so funny. But Alyssa is they've been building her up a little bit. And last week, they made it look like she was gelling with Kim and that they were working together. And then this week, Kim confides in her and she calls Rob and Claudia some swear words. And I don't even, not that I would even try to repeat them, but I don't even know what the swear words were. It was very ambiguous.
I can guess, but I don't need to. All we know is they weren't appropriate work kinds. So, yeah. And that's one where you can't trust anyone. You guys are, I mean, when you're competing against other people for that amount of money, people will backstab. I mean, for me, it's a game. It's like if you're playing poker, part of the game is bluffing and things like that. But yeah, you can't trust anyone. And so then to badmouth people like that, and that's not strategic in your game to call people names. And so, yeah, that was pretty foolish of Kim to do. So.
And then Alyssa decides that she's just going to go and blab and tell Rob. And before you know it, everybody knows. And it's this gigantic scheme and plan. Like, okay, no matter what, Kim's going out next.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense. I mean, Alyssa's smart because you want to throw you want everybody to kind of target someone else. And so that was smart of her to do. And it's funny. And this is probably not popular opinion, I've liked Kim. I think she's entertaining and she's, you know, I think she's going to give people a run for their money. You know, she's like her or not, but yeah, now she's not making a lot of friends. She's got a big target on her back. So
she's stirring the pot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we like that. We like that on TV. So
yeah, no, she makes good TV. Alyssa, Claudia, Rob, it's Aaron. It picked a good cast.
It is a good cast. It feels like a greater collection of personalities than we've seen on Survivor in the last couple of years, where I feel like a lot of Survivor now, it feels like a lot of them are like the same person. And this feels like it's more of like, okay, here's Kim and here's Alyssa and here's some of these other people that we'll talk about later. Aaron. Yeah. How about Aaron?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think Aaron's great. I love that. I hate this game. I hate the banker. They're pulling him back to be launched and stuff. I would say he's probably one of my favorites. And I think my kid's his favorite too. So.
All right, guys, I just fixed our background because I realized that I had the Traders background on here. So we won't be making that mistake again. I think I did one Traders podcast this year with the baseball background, but my mistake. Picking up where we left off, Alyssa calls Kim a witch. Strong choice of words, but not as, at least she didn't swear. She didn't use the bad words.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny because I thought Alyssa was calling herself a witch. Like she
Oh,
was,
you're right. Yeah.
I was going to say, she I think Alyssa, it. Yeah, Alyssa was saying like that back in the day, she would be burned at the stake, kind of meaning that I think she's not the traditional type. That's also why I was like, oh, that's funny. She did pageants. Cause I think Alyssa's kind of alluding to that. She's a little bit more counterculture and not everybody's cup of tea. And so, anyway, I really like how outspoken she is and that she's, you know, that she's trying to play a strategic game and not just sit back and let everybody else, you know, play the game and do the work.
So she's going around and she's telling people, this is the plan. We're going to target Kim. And there's one person who says they're not down with it, and that is Stephanie. This was really like the most screen time we had seen from Stephanie, but they set this up very well. You can tell that Stephanie is not going to go along with this plan. And then, of course, at the challenge, she's presented with that decision.
Yeah, poor Stephanie. I felt so bad for her because it did seem, I don't think Kim's that much of a threat that people needed to throw themselves under the bus to get her out this early on. And I think Stephanie realized that, like, why am I going to throw my game to try and get Kim out when it puts her at risk and no one else? And, you know, it's so crazy to me that she didn't just, I get she succumbed to the peer pressure, and she even said, she's like, oh, I can't believe I did that. But yeah, it's funny. As soon as she got the steal, she was like, that is the worst option, like the worst thing she could have gotten. Cause then it just put a target on her because she's not doing what the group wants. But if she did what the group wanted, she could have gone home. You know, if she'd taken the lowest case, she may have had to play. And so, and it's just crazy that Rob got to keep his case and be safe. And I'm like, Rob is the biggest target they have out there. And, you know, Claudia put her disdain for Kim above worrying about herself. And she made that offer to Stephanie, and it ultimately burned her.
Well, you will. Let's get into that. So the challenge is called Swingers Club.
Interesting name.
What did you think of this as a challenge? So basically, someone's hanging from a tree on some kind of rope swing type thing, and they're really flying through there. They're going through it really quickly. I don't know how quickly specifically, but I mean, that looks like I would probably get sick trying to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the other challenge in episode two was the one where, you know, he had to climb the tree and get the arrows. And so you saw poor Aaron, who physically it was so hard for him to do that. So the thing about this challenge is it didn't require you to have any kind of strength. You just had to have the courage to do it, and, you know, and then, you know, throw the piece on the board and stuff. So, I mean, I can see if you have a fear of heights, like everybody did it, but you could see how much it was like Stephanie really, I feel like that was the hardest for her that we saw. I mean, Aaron didn't like it, but I think Stephanie seemed the most legitimately terrified to do it. And I can't believe Rob's first toss. I mean, that was crazy.
I feel like you would be like, ooh, this looks fun. I want to try this.
It's funny because never, ever, ever will I like bungee jump or parachute out of a plane. I have limits, but things like zip lining or something like that, I could do. Not my favorite thing, but I wouldn't be as terrified as some people. So yeah, but no, that did look like that was a pretty far drop, I think.
I definitely would. I'd do it. I'd try it. Stephanie was the person you mentioned. She had like a panic. It looked like she had a panic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she did. I mean, I think she was just terrified, but she did it. You know, she fought through it because she wants to win and stuff. And that's the thing too, where you have to just figure out how to shove your fears down and go for it because there's so much at stake. Like you can't not do it. So.
Well, everything is about to go crazy here in a second when Stephanie gets the steal, which she says that she did not want. That was the last thing she wanted. And I think from the strategy point standpoint, I was thinking about this. How do you want to play Deal or No Deal Island? My thought is, especially in this early part of the game, this is a game where I think you really want to lay low as best as possible, because the best thing is obviously if you win immunity, that's great. But if you win immunity, you pick who is going into that of the two people at the bottom. Who are you going to send in to face the banker? So you're getting blood on your hands in one way or another. And then the person that if they beat the banker, they get to they can pick anybody who isn't immune to go home. Mm-hmm. So really, I think the top thing that you want to do is keep a low profile. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that right now, you know, it's such a huge risk. If someone beats the banker, they just randomly get to pick anyone and one person's going to have immunity. And so it's like you could play a perfect game and then you can be out before you know it. And I don't think anyone is just going to pick someone that's kind of quiet, hasn't crossed anyone, you know, that's just very, you know, it's interesting because in Survivor, you ultimately vote who wins. So you got to worry about who's getting out and things like that. But in this, there's no consequences. You toss someone out and they're out. And then you just, you know, you keep moving forward. So I think the people who are quiet and things will get to stay in longer. So, but you don't want to, you kind of want to shove other people out there, kind of like what Alyssa was doing. Like, hey, Kim said this about you guys, you know? And so when you put other people out there and just kind of lay, if you're able to still lay low yourself, then that works. And poor Stephanie got a target on her back because then she didn't go with what the rest of the group said. Anything that singles you out, you kind of ruins your game.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting because Stephanie is saying, she's like, oh my gosh, this is the last thing I want to do. I don't want to rock the boat. But then she proceeds to kind of at first go after, like, I'm going to take the immunity from Rob. So they were saying, take the lowest total. Which would basically, that would mean that she would be one of the two people that would face the banker. I can understand her not wanting to do that. Is there a way in between that she can kind of appease the group? Like if she takes like a $50,000 case or whatever it is, maybe it's a $125,000 case. And is there a way that you can do that without getting everybody upset?
I don't know, because the whole plan was that you wanted somebody else in the bottom right. So Kim wasn't going to be up for being able to throw someone out. So I think her going middle of the road wouldn't have appeased anyone either. I mean, I think that's why she said it was kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's why she didn't want to get the steal. So, you know, and I'm with her, like, you have to play for yourself. Like, you don't want to sacrifice yourself for what the rest of the group wants. But as soon as people realize you're all about yourself, then it puts a target on your back, even though everybody's doing the same thing. So,
yeah, I think she could have tried to be like, guys, I cannot face the banker. Like, I'm not doing it, but I'm not going to take immunity from anybody. Like, is there anybody who would volunteer who would like to play tonight? Or I think that maybe there's a way that she could do that that's a little more civil.
But then if she doesn't take immunity and didn't do the game plan, she could be, I mean, that just puts her at risk for being the target. And then if somebody else loses, they could, you know, if they beat the banker, then they'd be like, hey, you didn't do what we said. And so you're out. I mean, that's the thing, is like, you want to make sure you're safe 100% because kind of one of those lifelong things you'll kick yourself for. Hey, I could have won millions of dollars, but instead I was trying to be really polite and give in to peer pressure. It's just regrets you don't want to have.
And it's funny though, because that's what she ends up doing. She doesn't take immunity. So I feel like this reminded me of something on Survivor. Do you remember when Mike Holloway, Worlds Apart, tried to take the love, or it was like, everyone's going to take a love letter from loved one letter. And they like all agreed and said, we're all going to put $20 down, buy the loved one letter. And then he went up and at first he didn't take it. And then he was just going to keep all the money so he could buy the advantage. And then he kind of felt guilty and he's like, okay, fine, I'll buy the loved one letter. And it was like, he already showed his hand and people already got mad at him. So at that point, you're better off just following through with it. And I think that was the case for Stephanie, because if she, you know, she ends up doing the same type of thing where she says, she talks about going to take it from Rob, and then she ends up taking it from Claudia, and Claudia is saying that she wants her gone by the end of the episode. So she ends up not, she should have at that point just taken the immunity.
Yeah. I don't think she burned bridges with Rob. And I think if she had, I think he would have come hard for her. And so I don't think, as much as Claudia and some of the other group, I don't know that Rob, because he even kind of like, I can't remember what he said in his one of his interviews, but he basically was like, oh yeah, I can't believe she let me keep the case. So I don't think he's coming after her like he would have. If she'd taken the million from him, that would have been a big target.
Yeah. So that's a really good point. And it's kind of like, you got to keep Rob happy. That's how everyone's playing right now. Somebody is eventually going to take a shot at him. I would say I was a little surprised to see Claudia offering up her own safety for Rob's safety. What do you think? I mean, I'll ask her tomorrow when I talk to her in the exit interview. Why do you think she offered that up?
I think she's just caught up in the moment of we're the team and we're going to get Kim out and like making the sacrifice, like thinking that's the big move. But it just was not, you know, she put herself in a position she didn't have to be in. And so I think it was just to like appease the group and appease Rob. And I think she just didn't think it would go like it did, obviously.
And now we're getting like all of the drama. We're getting a huge confrontation. Things are just going crazy. Claudia is getting mad. Rob gets really mad. He lets the cat out of the bag and he says, well, I heard about what you called us. And I was a little surprised that Alyssa wasn't like, oh my gosh, why'd you throw me under the bus kind of reaction in a confessional or anything like that. She didn't seem to care.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, once you're telling everybody that, it's going to come out. There's especially, you know, if she's seen any Survivor, she knows Rob's not just, you know, that's going to come out. He's more, a little more confrontational about that stuff. So I think Joe's a great host. I like how he spilled the tea, you know, what's going on. So I've been impressed with him as a host. I think he's done a great job. And I think that also kind of makes the show.
Was that tea that he was drinking during that?
Yes. No, I think that was there. That's what I thought too. I was like, and I think he's drinking tea.
I'd never seen that before where the host is just kind of watching and just sipping on a drink. Like,
yeah,
hey, this is pretty good. I'm a viewer right now.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's a good question, Brooke. How much Survivor do you think these people have seen? Because Aaron, they set it up in the first episode where it looked like he was like, oh, of course I recognize Boston Rob. But then he was like, you were on Heroes versus Villains and you were a hero, right?
I know. Well, it's funny because some people watch stuff, but they don't really remember years later how things are. I think Kim knows it. It sounds like,
oh, you know, yeah,
really well. And I think there's a few other people that may not be letting on how much they know yet. It's hard to say, but yeah, I mean, if you've watched it, you would know that, you know, anybody that's watched, any of these kind of reality shows would know you want to take out someone who has experience in this type of stuff, especially someone that's like a villain like Rob. And they easily were just distracted to Kim and left Rob in there.
How similar is this to your season of Survivor when Stephanie and Bobby John showed up and you guys were all of the rookies?
Oh, it's the same thing. It's funny because our tribe, you know, Bobby John wasn't super aggressive on making alliances and like he's not the type to really be cutthroat and trying to get, you know, talking bad about people and getting them kicked out and things like that. Whereas Stephanie's much more strategic and things. And so she knew, I mean, on her tribe, it was like, let's get this person out, let's get this person out. And then as soon as we merged, she's like, hey, we've got to knock out someone from the other team. So, you know, we're ahead instead of being equal in numbers. So yeah, I would say Stephanie and Boston Rob are similar in the way they play these type games, you know, which is a compliment. I mean, they're both great players, competitive, they're smart, and they can, you know, they can read people and they know how to push the buttons.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, Bobby John, I was thinking about Guatemala the other day, as I always do. I was actually listening to the Survivor Historians podcast on Guatemala a couple days ago when I was road tripping. And one of the things I was thinking about is, like, with your season, Bobby John is somebody that you can just kind of use. Like, in that situation, it's like, this guy's going to work so hard around camp. He's going to be great in the challenges and he'll be a loyal number to us. Whereas someone like a Stephanie or a Boston Rob is like, you probably should target real early, because if you don't, they're going to be a big time threat over the course of the game. Bobby John will be a threat to make it far, but he's probably not going to win ever, really, unless he wins a ton of immunities at the end. But I do think, like, with a Rob or a Stephanie, like, you got to get that person out right away. And I thought that that was where this was going to go in the first episode. I was getting nervous seeing Rob, and I'm like, there's no way this guy's going to last very long. But, I mean, he's got people giving up their security in the game for him, and I've never seen him have this much loyalty to him on a show before.
Yeah, no, he's sitting pretty good right now, and especially with Aaron and things, because I think everybody really likes Aaron, and they don't see him as a physical threat, and then he's kind of got Boston Rob's back, and so, yeah, it's interesting on that. But it's true what you said. I mean, Bobby John is great, and he's a great, like, Bobby John's very much a team player. You know, work hard around camp, let's motivate everybody, let's, you know, sacrifice in the challenges and things, but he's so nice that he's not going to be thinking very much ahead about backstabbing. Whereas Stephanie and Rob know that's the game. You've got to be thinking ahead. You've got to be ready to, you know, throw people under the bus, which is funny that I'm forgetting his name right now. The first person that was out who is the professional poker player.
Branson.
And it's funny because in poker, you have to be thinking more like that. And he just had a rough start. It's hard when you're new to these games and you're, you know, there was just some critical errors he made at the start. But that's the thing, is being brand new to this versus having experience, you're playing much more with your head than with your emotions.
Yeah. So I think what happened with Branson was, he probably thought that there were going to be more people that would be like, hey, let's get Rob out early. Why, he's great at these shows. Why are we letting him tell us what to do and run the show? And if he was on a season with maybe more people like that, like if he was on the Nakum tribe, things may have been a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Claudia ends up sacrificing herself, and then Rob gives his confessionals where he's very proud of himself and he's very happy. And he's like, I still got it. He's like, I still got it. And it's like, here's Rob. It's been 22 years since he first played Survivor. He still has it. He's still winning challenges. He's won the last two challenges back to back. If he keeps winning, though, he's going to put more blood on his hands. Because, yes, in this case, the person that, you know, is between Claudia and Aaron, he was never going to pick Aaron. And Claudia, again, this is something I'll ask her about. She seemed willing to go into that, and she said she wanted to play because she never played before.
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked Claudia's confidence, and, you know, it is one. Like, it could have been a great move. You know, had she won, that was, you know, would have been amazing, but it's hard. Yeah. I mean, she had a lot of experience from watching the game for so long. And so it's too bad, because I was enjoying watching her play, but I think a little bit, she let her emotions get the best of her, like her annoyance with Kim took center stage over, hey, this is about the bigger picture. Don't let people, that's the thing, is you have to realize in this, don't let people who are obnoxious and annoying throw you off your game. You know, you can't worry more about revenge than like the ultimate prize and things, where it's, you know, Rob, I think he'll get annoyed with people and he'll maybe kind of target someone, but he still doesn't make, you know, he kind of said, I think early on about somebody like, we can get them out later. You know, it's not urgent and stuff. So.
Yeah. It seemed like she wanted to be a hero. I think you touched on this earlier with like, she was doing what was in the best interest of the group and not herself.
Yeah. Yep.
So Claudia ends up going in. Aaron does not go in. And she does say that she's going to either pick Stephanie or Kim. So I think this is what we'll see, is like, it's really interesting with an edit, because you don't know if the person's going to win or not. Typically when you watch a show like this, it comes like Survivor, you have an idea, it's between this person and this person, and now we're going to go to Tribal Council. And this is like, okay, well, if I win, it's between this person and this person, but I might not win. So it's also, it's a matter of, will I even get that chance to pick?
Yeah. No, and that's the thing that makes it fun is that it is a, like each, the end of each episode is really a wild card because you have no idea if the person playing is going to go out. And if they don't go out and they get to pick somebody, you just, one person's safe and then it could be anyone.
And I'm happy that they're playing Deal or No Deal. I did not, again, I watched the first episode. I had no idea like what, how this was going to work or anything. I just saw the cases and stuff scattered around the island, challenges, and Boston Rob. That's all I really knew about this show. And then, of course, the history of Deal or No Deal. So I was happy to see them playing Deal or No Deal. And each week, the person plays, and they have to accept an offer that is greater than the one in their suitcase. Otherwise, it's like they can hang on to their suitcase. And then when they get down to two cases, what's in their suitcase has to be greater than the case that they do not choose. So really, at best, you're always going to have a 50-50 shot. You could always ride it out and just stick with your one suitcase.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what was interesting. I was trying to figure out how they were going to do this when they announced the show and things. And it's, that's what I like is there's a survivor component, but then you get to the end and it's kind of, you know, it's logic and statistic of what are your odds? And okay, I've got this, there's this many cases under the offer and there's this many cases above. And so sometimes you're like, this is just a no-brainer. This is, you know, the odds are going to tell you what you should do and stuff. But that makes it kind of a fun component at the end of it. And it's crazy how much you can win in this game. I mean, that's the part that makes it really exciting is they're building up this huge pot of money, so much more than Survivor that's been on for 25 years where they've never upped the winnings.
I know. And I was like, so traders, they just split $200,000. That was how that was the prize pot. So I shouldn't give away the ending because I know you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
there are a lot of people who haven't seen it, so I won't give it away. But that's how big that prize pot was. This one, like they teased it earlier, that it's like there's like an offer or potential prize of like $4.4 million, and it's a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's one where I'm like, pick me, I'll play the game. Plus, I saw the tents, and I was like, this sounds great. Sleep on the beach and tents. I mean, it's very luxury compared to Survivor and stuff. So, but yeah, it makes it really exciting. And you really kick yourself if you make a mistake.
I actually think they're casting for season two right now. So maybe this is my show, because I'm going to have to play one of these shows one of these days.
Yes, I think you should.
This would be it. There's so much money. Yes. Now I'd love to know, what do you get compensated if you go out fourth or whatever it is? Because if it's like, oh yeah, you get $10, then might not be worth your time.
Yeah, no, hopefully they get something. I mean, I'm sure there's something in there they get, but yeah, I'd be curious to know how, you know, what the difference is. And I'm guessing it's a fixed amount regardless of what the final, you know, pot is. It's not based on that. So
I think that what is really interesting, so the key is either you hang on to the case until the very end and you just take that 50-50 shot, or you want, what's so strange about this compared to previous formats of Deal or No Deal is you want the lowest number. So you want a penny in your case. If you pick the penny, then you automatically are going to win unless you hang on to the case the whole time. Mm-hmm. So that's what's kind of interesting. So I'm watching this and I'm like, from a probability strategic standpoint, ideally I want a low number in my case. And then I think I want, in order to kind of like feel good about an offer that I'm taking, ideally I want a million left. Or maybe I don't, because maybe I have the million in my case.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I guess what I want is I want the million. I'm going to assume the million is not in my case. And if I've knocked out all of the other higher totals, then that's okay, because yes, I might not get offered as big, but if like I've knocked out everything on the right side except the million, and then I've got everything on the left side, there's the offer is probably going to be greater than what anything that's on the left side. So then you're looking at like an 80 or 90% chance of your offer being higher.
Yeah, I guess that's how that would play out in that situation. I know it's tough because, yeah, it's that question of, do you want to have the low case or you want to have the $1 million case? Because, I mean, and okay, so let's say you get down to the final cases and, you know, there's $1 million left on the board and a penny and they offer 500,000. Like, it's just 50-50 shot. What do you do? So it's a tough one. I mean, and obviously, yeah, I don't know. So what I'm interested in is how many people are going to go to the final, you know, to get down to two cases and things. I'm curious how that's, if each time someone's playing, if it's kind of going to, if that's going to be the pattern, if it gets to that point.
Am I wrong about my kind of approach with it? Am I missing anything?
No, I mean, I haven't worked through it yet and really thought about the different scenarios of how it plays out. But I mean, that sounds accurate.
Because it's different than, like, yes, for the group, the most amount of money that you secure or take or whatever, that's great for everybody else. Mm-hmm. But like, you want to preserve yourself. So I don't really care how much money I'm actually taking, because I don't keep that money. It's not for me, it's for the group. And yeah, then I might have a chance of winning it later. So really what you want is, it's just different because in other format, like previous formats of Deal or No Deal, you want to knock out all of the low numbers no matter what. Yeah. In this case, you want a low number in your case, and then you want to take something that's more than that. So if you can find a situation where what your offer is greater than, so if your offer is greater than a majority of the totals that are on the board, then you want to take that offer from a probability standpoint.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want a low number in your case if you're not going to go with your case, obviously. And didn't Aaron, in the first episode, he went with his case.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And had a higher amount in there. But that is the thing that I noticed that was interesting, is that you're absolutely right. You know, yes, it grows the pot, but that's not what your focus should be on. Because I noticed that a couple times, I think, maybe when Kim was playing and with Claudia, I don't think Aaron said that, but they were like, no, we need, you know, banker's offer is low, I want more money for the pot. And I'm like, no, don't worry. It's just about keeping yourself in the game, because who cares how much you grow the pot if you get out? You know, you're not, it's pointless. So
if I knocked out everything on the left side and now all of my totals are like really high, my offer's still going to be somewhere in between the middle of that. So I'm still going to be getting like a 50% chance of that.
Yeah, that's the thing. The banker's always going to give you an offer where it's about, if you can split it equally, four cases above, four cases below, it will. And if it's, you know, close, it may be three above and four below or whatnot. But yeah, it's always going to come in right in the middle, you know?
Yeah. So it is interesting, because then it's like, when you get down to the final two cases, your case has to have the higher total if you ride with that case. But that's funny to me, because then it's like, that's influenced by the order of how you pick the other cases. So like, if you had picked the, let's say it's 50,000 and 100,000, and you've got, and then there was another, let's say a 200,000, and you've got the, this is going to be too complicated, but you get what I'm saying. Like, let's say
the initial case you picked is the $1 million. But then as you open cases, it's like 750,000's out, now 500,000. And that's the thing, is you start to lose confidence. Like, if you in theory had everything on the left side, you know, a penny, you know, $50, $100, you know, you lose confidence that the one you have is the $1 million. And, you know, and then in that situation, you're probably likely to take the banker's offer, because what's the odds that it's the one high one when you have all these low ones? I mean, right. Actually, I think that would be one where if you pick the million, but then knock out all the other big cases right away, you are likely to lose. Yeah. In some ways, I feel like picking the $1 million case really makes it, it actually is going to be the hardest scenario to win because any offer the banker gives you, you're going to have more than. So you, if you pick the million, you have to stick with your case. Otherwise you're guaranteed to lose, right?
Exactly. So my point is you want the a penny in your case. You want the lowest total possible. So that way you're going, any offer that you take is going to be greater than that. So that's what I think is interesting about this, because in previous formats of Deal or No Deal, you were always hoping that you had a million in your case.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Interesting.
So you should probably pick your least favorite number as your case instead of your favorite number.
Yeah, that's true. Only there are some clues as to which one had the penny in it. So,
well, Claudia picks case number one, and that was her case on the show. And I didn't realize that the models always had the same case. Did you?
No, I didn't realize that.
So I did a little research. Mm-hmm. Seasons 1 through 4, she was the number one case girl. That was her spot.
And then she got bumped?
I don't know what happened. She probably pursued a greater opportunity.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle was on this show as she was a case girl.
I did not know that. Interesting.
For like one season. Yeah.
So are you telling me Meghan Markle's watching Deal or No Deal?
She's listening to this podcast too, so we would be nice.
Yes.
It was interesting though, because so then she picked one and she ended up having more in her case. I think she had the 500 in her case, and she ended up, so like her number ended up being good. Mm-hmm. If she had hung on to it, she would have been alive. So she got a situation where she had a penny, 175 and 500, and she got offered 180. So that was higher than 2 out of 3. So in theory, it's a 66% chance. Would you have taken that shot? Would you have taken that deal?
So remind me again. So she had, there were two cases below the offer, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have taken the deal. I mean, statistically, yeah, I would have taken the deal too.
Yeah. So that's tough. Bummed to see Claudia go at this point. I felt like she was one of the most established characters. Like they set her up a little bit as kind of like the mentor type of person that like kind of, she would kind of coach people while they're playing, like, oh, that I got, you know, good experience with that number there. Tough to see her go at this point.
Yeah, no, it is. She was, I mean, I feel like she provided a lot of insight because of her experience on the show and stuff. So it was kind of nice to have her, like, I don't know, they call them confessionals or whatever, but to kind of narrate things. And so, yeah, it's always hard because reality shows, you don't have any control over what order people are going to get voted out. And so sometimes you have some of these really entertaining players to watch get voted out. So
it was tough, but we're establishing a lot of characters. We like a lot of these people. You know, one thing that got brought up in this episode that was a little interesting was, your girl, Kim, she loves to talk trash, and she starts saying that, like, Claudia's not that as good at this as she thinks she would be. She's not skilled. Is this really a game of skill, though?
that's the thing that's so funny is that, well, and I guess maybe she's got a point that Claudia doesn't really have an advantage in this so much because it, you're picking suitcases. And it's funny because people are like, we're going to help you. And I'm like, no, you're not helping. You're just picking random numbers. I mean, it's not one where anybody, it's just statistics, you know, but there's not really an advantage to number picking. So.
Yeah. I think the one thing is just you have to weigh the pros and the cons and the probability odds. That's pretty much it. And you've got to trust your gut or whatever's directing you. Maybe it's God. I don't know, but you just have to guess. It's a guessing game. It's not. And then, I mean, there are smarts do come into play. There's, you know, there are going to be situations where it makes a lot of sense to take a deal, or it would not make a lot of sense to take a deal. And you have to be adaptive to those things. But not always is it going to be like, not always can you trust the probability, because the probability in this case, it looked like, you know, she had a 2 out of 3 shot that she was going to stay, only 1 in 3 that she was going to lose. And, you know, we both probably would have taken that deal, but didn't work out for her. So like we're talking about, it's a luck game. It's not really a skill game.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard. Sometimes like I try not, you know, in playing games like that, I try not to pre-think in advance exactly how I'm going to do it based on the odds. Cause I think you have to leave some room for gut instinct. Cause there's just times where people roll the dice and it shouldn't work out the way it does. And it does. So you do, I think there's a degree of it where you kind of have to go with what your gut's telling you, even if it's a little bit against the odds.
So Brooke, that's episode 3. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else on this episode that we didn't touch on that you want to touch on or cast people, anything like that that you had on your mind?
No, I think I'm just really curious to watch Aaron's gameplay. You know, he seems like a very earnest, genuine person, and he's, you know, he just speaks his heart and he's really fun to watch. And it's interesting to see, like, I think the two polar opposites in this game would be Rob and Aaron. And so it's a really great contrast that they've kind of paired up. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, how that's going to play out and how Kim's going to keep, you know, what's going to be the aftermath of this, you know, because they had the challenge, everything got very heated, all this stuff came out, you know, they go to play the game. And so now what are going to be the repercussions when they're back at camp and, you know, Kim's talking to everybody. So I'm curious to see, like, there's going to be more sparks flying.
Yeah, it's really getting good. I think we're paving the groundwork for more drama, more conflict, more people at each other's throats, more people gaming, mm-hmm. strategizing. Is there anyone that has impressed you the most with their gameplay?
I think Kim, honestly, like, I mean, yes, she's run her mouth and across, but you know, when you saw the first mud challenge, which by the way, flashbacks to Guatemala, when we did tug of war in the mud, I mean, it looked exactly like that. People lost their shoes. I mean, you couldn't move. Like you were just, and you were covered in mud, and they get showers, I assume. We did not get showers. That was not fun. No cleanup afterwards, but you have Kim who, you know, she was still just fighting out there trying to get it. She had to get help from the other people, but she didn't have that I am weak mentality. She didn't, and you know, and also not like, hey, thanks for helping me out kind of thing. She just is like, nope, I'm coming for everybody. I'm going to do this and they don't expect me. So I appreciate that about her is she's just like, I'm doing this and it doesn't matter my age and she's fighting for it. So that impresses me that she's a fighter.
She's going for it. Mm-hmm. I would say that I was impressed with Alyssa the most this week based on, I like what you said, just kind of deflecting, putting other people in the line of fire. Oh, this person's talking bad about you. This person using true pieces of information, not just lying and making stuff mm-hmm. up and stirring the pot, but taking true pieces of information and planting seeds. And I think she played this pretty well. I think she's in a good spot. She definitely is on Rob's good side. So that's a good thing for this stage of the game. Mm-hmm. At some point though, someone's going to take Rob out, right?
Yeah, I would think. And I kind of feel like it's just going to be one of those where someone beats the banker and they realize like Rob's got to go. So, I mean, I think Kim would be the most likely. I would think if Kim goes up against the banker again and wins, my guess would be that would be her. It would have been Claudia, I think, first. But since Claudia's already out, my guess is she's smart enough to take Rob out. So I think Rob's worst case scenario is if Kim goes and beats the bank. I mean, she might go after Alyssa for saying what she said, but she'd be smarter to go after Rob because I think he's the bigger threat. Because more people are following him than are following Alyssa.
Yeah, I think she'll go after Rob if she wins. I think that others will target him later. I think people are right now, it's kind of like you just want to, like, it's way too early to be rocking the boat and making a name for yourself and being a potential target. So it's better to keep everything close to the vest and just kind of play it safe. And then you get a little later into the season, it's like, oh, you know what? Rob's a dangerous threat. He's a great competitor. He doesn't have immunity this week. He's calling the shots. He's got a whole pecking order. We got to take our shot now. So I think someone will take that shot. It does look like he's going to be okay for a little bit though. And that we're happy to see that. At least I'm happy to see that. Yeah. We enjoy seeing Rob on TV. It's fun.
Yeah. Even though you know what people should do, you don't necessarily want him to do it when you're watching the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Anything else, Brooke? What should I ask Claudia tomorrow?
I would want to find out, you know, obviously she had in her mind what playing this game would be like. And I'd be curious to see what was the least, like, what surprised her the most about actually playing the game as to what she thought the game would be like when she played it.
That's a good one. We will ask her about that. I will be back tomorrow to interview Claudia. So that episode will be later in the week. Brooke, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jack. See you next week.
All right, guys. Well, that was our first recap here covering Deal or No Deal Island. We are still just kind of getting started here. So if you guys have questions or comments, maybe throw us some listener questions. We can answer those questions next week. Ideas for segments, anything like that. We want to come up with some fun, creative ideas. We're going to recap these episodes every week. It's going to be fun. We'll have some guests join us. And like we said, this is only season one of Deal or No Deal Island. So unlike Traders, where we've got the Bams and the Michaels and the Rachel Rileys and Stephanies of the world who can come on and share their thoughts and share their expertise from what they saw in season one, we don't have Deal or No Deal people to bring on for like this kind of analysis, but we do have friends from Survivor and other reality shows, and I'm sure that you will hear from them over the course of this show. So if you're a Survivor fan checking this out, I think you'll be happy with this show. As I mentioned, please subscribe to the Jack Vita Show. Hit that subscribe button. Comment. Hit the like button. Share this with a friend. Give us a comment. Give us a question. We will be back again next week. Actually, before that, I'll have my interview with Claudia. That'll come out later this week. So exit interviews, we will have those all season long. And then next week, we will be back for episode 4. Recapping episode 4. We've got more Traders content on the horizon. One of the winners will be coming on this show in the next couple weeks. Great interview with that person. Don't want to spoil it if you guys haven't seen it, but you guys are going to love Traders. It's going to be great. So until my conversation with Claudia, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the Dance of the Lobsters.